And Father, that is our prayer to you tonight. We thank you so much, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And to think about your word, that you exalt your word even above your name. And so we're so thankful that we have the word of God, the living word of God, the truth of God for us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd open up our hearts. We could receive your word with gladness. Help us to know the things we need to know. Help us to yield to the things we need to yield to. Help us to be free from the things that maybe have us gripped by sin or bondage. We want to be set free. We want to be used. We want your influence. We want the influence of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. So we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Continue to stand. We'd ask you to open up your Bibles, if you would, tonight. We thank the Lord for his word. We're in Revelation chapter 9. So last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 9. And what we're doing tonight is we're looking at chapter 9, continuing our study through the book of Revelation. But there's tremendous demonic activity happening during the tribulation period. But there's tremendous demonic activity happening right now in our lives and in the world. And Christians, we need to wake up. And the Bible tells us to wake up and to understand the battle that we're in right now. So in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. And they will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of a man, and they had hair like a woman's hair, and teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had a breastplate like the breastplate of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sounds of chariot and many horses running into battle, and they had tails like scorpions, and there was stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek the name is Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." And again, Heavenly Father, bless this Bible study in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So very terrifying information that is written and given to us today. God wants us to have his word. He wants us to have his truth today. You'll notice that even in reading the scripture, I pause when it says like. And so the information given to us, he's speaking in terms of what it's like. So as we get into this particular study, what we see in the book of Revelation as we've approached chapter 9, and I do this every week, and I appreciate your interest in God's word, but I do it because my exhortation to us and to every member of the body of Christ, and specifically to every pastor, my exhortation to pastors is, if you've not taught your people God's word, you're doing a disservice to God and to the people. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 1, God says there's a blessing for those that can hear the word of God, receive God's word, and obey God's word. So we want to be blessed. And this book is a great blessing. It tells us where we're at today and what's happening. So chapter 1 was a wonderful portrayal of Jesus. John saw the resurrected Jesus. And Jesus said, "John, write what you've seen." Then chapters 2 and 3, there's 7 literal churches at that time, starting with Ephesus, ending in Laodicea. And there's a literal route that those churches are on. Chapters 2 and 3, Jesus said it's a message to that church, but it's a message to this church, and it's a message to our lives. You might reflect back during the week and see it speaks after every church. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. It also helps us understand that God wants us to overcome the difficulties of this life. After chapter 3 comes chapter 4. And chapter 4 speaks about John's taken to heaven. And it represents the rapture of the church. The church will be taken to heaven before the tribulation period, a 7-year period on earth. You'll notice the tribulation begins in chapter 6. 4 and 5 come before 6. The church is lifted out of the earth before the tribulation period. Chapter 4, Jesus says, come up here and see what's going on. And he's seeing the praise and the adoration and the worship of Jesus in chapter 4. In chapter 5, there's a question asked. Who's worthy to open the scroll? And only Jesus was worthy. And they begin to praise Jesus for that. And then in chapter 6, we see that the scroll has 7 seals on it. And they begin to open those seals. And the first 4 seals represent the 4 horsemen of tribulation. Darkness is coming upon the earth. The Antichrist comes into existence. Death takes place. Starvation takes place. You can see it in there. And the 5th seal is opened up and the saints are praying, wondering how long, oh God, how long? The 6th seal is opened up and what they are saying is, the rich people, the rulers, the kings, the poor people, everybody, during the tribulation period, they're calling out. They want the rocks to fall upon them. They said, who is able to stand against the wrath of the Lamb of God? My friends, the church is not going to face the wrath of the Lamb of God. Christ took our wrath on himself on the cross. He died, buried, and rose again. We're in Christ. And Christ is going to come, and he's going to deal in his wrath against all the ungodliness, all those who have rejected Christ during that 7-year tribulation period. The 6th seal is opened up. There's 7 I mentioned. But then chapter 7 comes. And chapter 7 is a bit of parenthesis. And it tells us there's some other things happening. And you see the mercy of God and the kindness of God and the love of God. During such a time where God can just literally wipe everybody out during the tribulation period, you see his mercy. And you see that he's not finished with the nation Israel. In our Sunday study, we're in Romans chapter 6. But as we get to Romans 9, 10, and 11, it's a revelation of God's plan for Israel and its future. God hasn't forsaken Israel, and neither do we. And neither should any church. God, Jesus Christ, is coming back from heaven. Where do you think his feet are going to land? Not in Blaine. It's in Jerusalem. We need to be students of the word and understand. It's going to be quite a homecoming. But in chapter 7, he says there's 12,000 from 12 tribes. 12 times 12. 144,000 Jewish men he seals during the tribulation period. And they're going to preach the gospel to the unsaved world. That's the mercy of God. That's the love of God. So you'll notice, as we'll get into our text today, those scorpions, they cannot hurt those that have been sealed by God. That's a reference to that. So chapter 7, we see that taking place. In chapter 8, we see then the 7th seal opened up of the scroll. And the scroll is beginning to unfold before us. And now comes, there was the seal judgments, S-E-A-L, and now the trumpet judgments. There's 7 trumpet judgments. Later on, there's going to be 7 bowl judgments. So there's 3 series of judgments of God against ungodliness in the tribulation period. We've already seen the 6 seals, and now comes the 7 trumpet judgment. That 7th seal is opened, and there's silence in heaven for 30 minutes about. And it's just, you got to meditate on what God, just all the praise and all the worship and all the adoration going on in heaven that we talk about. It is quiet because something dramatic is going to take place. And then we begin to see the trumpet judgments. And last week we saw the first four trumpet judgments, and it's God dealing in the environment in this world. In the trumpet judgments, we see what happens to the green grass. We see what happens to the seas. We see what happens to the star, the moon, and the sun. We see what is happening there. And so we end chapter 8 with four of those trumpet judgments. And the angels are the ones, they have the trumpet, they're sounding the trumpet. So you'll notice in chapter 8 at the end, it says in verse 13, "And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe." So the trumpet judgment, number 5, 6, and 7, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, remaining the blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So tonight, we look at just the fifth angel and the sixth angel of the trumpet judgment. Seven trumpet judgments. We won't catch the seventh angel and his judgment sound until chapter 11, verse 15. So we're looking at just two angels. And again, the sound is woe, and it's powerful. And the first four trumpet judgments had to do, again, with the environment. This has to do in a spiritual realm. So Satan exists today. Satan is alive and well. Satan is a literal being. Satan was created by God. Satan has a demonic force. There's one Satan, one devil. He's not the opposite of Jesus Christ. He's a fallen angel. He doesn't even compare. So some people say, well, there's Jesus and there's the devil, as though they compare. No comparison at all. Don't even go there. The devil isn't all-knowing. He isn't all-present. You might think he is. You might think he's following you around all the time. But we want to look at this for just a minute. So Satan is a created being, created by God. When was he created? We don't have a time frame on that, but we know that when man was created and placed in the garden, Satan was there to tempt them. So it would assume prior to the creation of mankind, the angelic realm existed. Now, in Isaiah's gospel, well, it's all good news, my friends. But chapter 14 of Isaiah, and in verse 12, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. And I will be like the Most High. And yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." So remember, we're talking about the bottomless pit. I read that in chapter 9. There's a literal location, the bottomless pit. It could be in the depths of the earth. It could be. We'll see this in just a minute. But there's a literal geographical location, the bottomless pit. Also, in Ezekiel, and in chapter 28 of Ezekiel, again, referencing back to Satan, the devil, Lucifer, was a created angel by God. And he was an angel that was a worshiper of God. But in his heart, there was a point that he said, I want to be the one to be worshipped. I want to be exalted. I want to be the one that people pursue. In Ezekiel chapter 28, it tells us about him in verse 11. But moving down to verse 14, it says, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you." So you would say, maybe, why would God even create the angelic realm? I mean, if he knew everything and knew all that was going on, why would he do this? My friends, I thank God that God is God. What we do is we read about what happened. God gave the angelic realm a sense of free will, a choice, just like he's given you and I. We've been given a choice. So here's the facts. God created this angelic realm, and in this angelic realm, one of the key angels rebelled against God. Now, we know that there's an order of angels. There's rankings of angels. So you have Michael the archangel. You also have Gabriel. And you have more angels that serve God than we can possibly count, because earlier in our scriptures, when we were looking at the amount of angels that were worshiping God and praising God, we couldn't even count the numbers that were there. I look and behold a great number to which no one could number of all the nations, speaking about the people, the tribes, the tongues within in heaven. And it also will give reference to just tens of thousands upon thousands of angels. In Revelation chapter 12, it makes a reference to something that took place. In Revelation chapter 12, it says, his tail drew a third of the stars. Angels, the term stars refers to angels in this context. In Revelation 12:4, it says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. To me, this is an indication that when Satan rebelled against God, that there was a third of that angelic realm that went to be with him. That's my reference to that. So when I'm looking at the scriptures tonight, and we're looking at chapter 9 of Revelation, and we're seeing that there is a great demonic work taking place during the tribulation period, but that demonic effect is happening right now very powerfully and very strong. Anyone who does not believe that the devil exists or believes in demon, I don't know really what to say, because it's very true and it's very real. And we fight against not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness in this time that we're living in right now. It is a full-on warfare taking place. So when we see in chapter 9, the fifth angel sounded, and a star fell from heaven to earth, and to him was given the keys to the bottomless pit. Remember, Christ is absolutely in control. There's never a time he's not in control. Satan can only attack you, the devil, if it passes through the Lord Jesus Christ. We were told that Jesus Christ, in Revelation 1:18, I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and death. So Christ is in control. The keys are given to the bottomless pit. In verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of the great furnace. You'll also reference later on, or make a note, but when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, it's the same smoke reference right here as when that judgment came to Sodom and Gomorrah, and what was seen there. The sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit that was there. And again, the smoke, out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. So God is using locusts to bring a judgment against all ungodliness during the tribulation period. We read the text, and John is explaining to us what he sees, and he's referencing things like. And when he says like, it doesn't mean as though they had this hairdo, we talk women's hair, whatever, but he's referring to what's happening. And he's seeing things, and he's trying to explain it to us. What we need to note is this right now. What we need to note is this right now. In verse 21 of Revelation chapter 9, and in verse 20. In verse 20 of Revelation 9, we need to note this right now. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. Verse 21, they did not repent. God is allowing this judgment to take place to bring a sense of repentance upon the people, calling out to God, how much? Lord, help me, help me. They can't die. In this 5-month period of time, there are no funerals. Nobody dies. You can't die. The pain is intense, and you want to die, or you want to commit suicide. It won't happen. It can't happen. God says no. He puts a pause on death. Nobody dies. He wants people to be saved. He wants people to come to him. So you have, and you'll learn in the next couple of weeks, that not only are there 144,000 sealed evangelist empowered by God to bring the gospel to the world. But in chapter 11, there's two representatives from the Bible, from the Old Testament. They come down from heaven and they preach on earth for 3.5 years. Not only that, in Revelation 14, there's an angel passing throughout the world with the everlasting gospel. Remember, Christ said before he left, he wants the gospel to be brought to the entire world, and then he'll come back. And so certainly we're a part of that, the very thing that we're doing tonight. We're bringing forth God's word. We're calling people to repent. We're calling people to walk with God. We're telling people these are the end times. These are the end of the end times. We're telling people Jesus Christ is coming back. But his gospel, to get out to the whole world, that's his responsibility. Ours is to be a good witness and to be a witness for Christ and to proclaim the gospel. But God is going to accomplish things through the nation Israel, through the representatives in chapter 11 that come down to earth, through an angel proclaiming that gospel. And I thank the Lord for that. You would say, well, what about Jesus and what about his ministry on earth? When Jesus was ministering on earth, there's many times that he faced the demonic realm. Not only did he stop the storms from happening, not only did he heal those that were paralyzed, not only did he raise the dead, but he delivered people from demon possession. Pastor, do you believe in demon possession? Absolutely. It's widespread. Do you believe that a Christian can be demon possessed? It's not a matter of what I believe. It's a matter of what does the Bible say. And the Bible says that as a believer, the Holy Spirit now lives within you. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence within you as a believer. And that means that God is not into a time-sharing program. There's no room for Satan to dwell within you. But as a believer, you know this and I know this. We are attacked and we're not possessed, but we're oppressed. And it's very real. That's why he says, take up the armor of God. That's why he gives us exhortation. In a couple of weeks, Victor's going to bring a message on Sunday about spiritual battles out of Ephesians chapter 6. It's going to be great to hear that. We need to hear that. But Jesus, when he was ministering, and this comes out of Luke's gospel chapter 8, and it tells us in verse 28, when this demon-possessed person saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell down before him. And with a loud voice, he said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. I'd like to make a point right now. This person is demon-possessed by many demons. Many, not just one. We'll find that out in a minute. And the demonic realm speaks about Jesus as being the Son of the Most High God. The demonic realm recognizes Jesus is God. So therefore, somebody that says, I don't believe Jesus is God, I would just say, well, that's interesting. You know, the devils do. Who are you following? It's known. And so, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it often seized him and kept him under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. There are many demon-possessed people today. They don't even know it. Sophisticated people, you don't have to be out in the wilderness naked and chained. You can be in executive offices working all kinds of deals and be operating with the possession and influence of Satan. It's very real. Drug deals, human trafficking deals, all kinds of things are happening. Where does it come from? It comes from Satan, and it comes from his rule in people's lives and minds and dominates them. And Jesus, and by the way, if we're playing as Christians in that dark realm, we're in big trouble. God wants those bonds to be broken. Verse 30, Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he said, my name is Legion, because there's many demons he had. So this man was possessed by many demons. Legion would be like 1,000. and the devil made a request, or the demonic realm made a request. They begged him, Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. So the bottomless pit is called the abyss. In chapter 9 of Revelation, the bottomless pit is called the abyss. And these demons, during Jesus' ministry, make a request of Christ not to be cast into that bottomless pit. I'm just saying, the demonic realm knows. It exists. It exists today. You think things are bad right now, and they are. And you think that there's almost like an unleash of even severe darkness and demonic activity. And I would say that there is. But they're telling us what's coming ahead. By the way, it was Jesus' decision to see these demons cast into many swine that were feeding on the mountain. So he begged them that they permit him, and basically they were cast into the pigs and entered into the water. Back into our text, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the angel that comes, and there's the trumpet angels, and there's seven angels, and they have trumpets. The fifth angel sounds the trumpet, and it's one of the strongest woes. There's two more woes, and there's keys to the bottomless pit, and released from the bottomless pit is the demonic realm, and it seems as though they operate like locusts. So that's the representation, and there's the capacity to sting in such a hurtful, painful way. You can't get rid of the pain, and you can't die at all. And you know, if you think of the movies that are out right now, and you think of the games that are out right now, and I'm not into them, but just taking a cursory view, to me, there's a strong representation of demonic features in many of those things. It's very real. You need to be very careful of what's influencing you, what's influencing me. God created these angels. We thank God for the angels. In Daniel, we see specific angels that are there. Even in Luke's gospel, the angel Gabriel. Even when Peter was in jail, there was an angel that was there. Angels are real. In Hebrews, it says we entertain angels unaware that there's an angelic realm all around us. That if we were to pull back the veil right now, and really what's happening in this chapter, God is pulling back the veil to show us a reality. The Word of God is real. It is reality. If people are looking for reality, we need God's Word. It is real. This is reality that we're dealing with. And if we were to pull back the veil and could see with spiritual eyes into that heavenly realm, we would see quite a warfare taking place. We would see the battles, because that's what's taking place. Satan's time is limited. And those demons that are in this bottomless pit, there is some reference to that. In Jude's gospel, no, I'm sorry, again, in Jude's epistle, at just before Revelation, in verse 6 of Jude, it only has one chapter, it says in verse 6, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he's reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness for the judgment of that great day." In verse 9 of Jude, it says, "Yet Michael the archangel," again, there's ranking of angels, "contended with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses and dared not bring a charge against his reviling accusation, but Michael said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" My friends, we don't enter into conversations with demons. We call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan comes knocking at your front door. Don't answer it. Let the master of the house answer it. Jesus Christ, he's the master of our house. He dwells within us through his Holy Spirit. When we see the marvelous way that Jesus has ministered, even in the epistles that Peter wrote, in the second epistle of Peter, he is speaking about just the demonic realm. In chapter 2, verse 4, says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." So my friends, if Jesus knew about it, and if the demons knew of this abyss, this bottomless pit, and if they didn't want to go there, and if we see in Jude reference to these angels who left that domain that they have, we see what Peter's talking about. It exists. This exists. It is very real. And there's going to be a time during the tribulation they're released. And then as we continue on in verse 13, now the sixth angel, remember there's seven angels. They each have a trumpet, and it's called the trumpet judgments. In chapter 8, we saw four of them. In chapter 9, we see 5 and 6. We won't see the seventh trumpet until chapter 11, verse 15. Back to our text in chapter 9 of Revelation, verse 13. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four corners of the golden altar, which is before God. Remember, there's prayer going on before this altar. And saying to the sixth angel who had a trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared, listen, for the hour, for the day, for the month, and for the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. So the 5 months kill nobody. If you'll notice already, we saw in chapter 6 with the seal judgment, and in verse 8 of chapter 6 of Revelation, it says a fourth of the earth was killed with a sword. So we don't know the exact number on earth. It seems to, though, people say, 7 billion or something like that. We don't know. But if, just because it's easier to do math, if there was 8 billion and a fourth were killed, that means that there'd be 6 billion left, right? And right now, of that, a third of those are wiped away. And this is during the tribulation period. And notice that it happens in 1 hour time. In 1 hour time. 1 hour. So he says he's marking, the day, the month, and the hour. So in 1 hour time. And then it says in verse 16, "Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw horses in the vision. And those who sat on them, breastplate of fiery red and blue and sulfur of yellow. And the heads of the horses were, again, like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone." So when it says, out of their mouth came that, it doesn't say like. So that's what's coming out. "And by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them to do harm." Now it's very interesting on this part of the 200 million. You'll notice again, it gives us a number. It doesn't say like it. So there's 200 million people in this army. So some have referred back to this as being a literal army, like out of China in 1965. In the 60s, China reported to have an army. They could field an army of, they use that number, 200 million. Sometimes people are reading this and they think of the description like it refers to military equipment that's being used with a literal army. And I don't know for certain, but for me in reading through this, I see this as a demonic force. So no matter how you look at it, say if it was a literal army, but they would be demon-possessed by 200 million demons or whatever. It's going to be darkness no matter what. I see this as, again, just in the demonic realm, 200 million released and causing this death to take place from this angel. And we referred to it earlier, but notice verse 20. "And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk." So they want to keep worshiping their idols. We're in the process of a very difficult time in world history. Certainly the coronavirus, it's a worldwide plague, disease. It's affected the world in many ways, affected us personally, affected your lives. The results of that have affected the church. And you've had many people in leadership positions not wanting us to do what we're doing here today. They actually were able to close the church down over one of our most celebrated holidays, which was Easter. Of course, every day is the Lord's Day and we celebrate God, but that's a significant event. Many people give their life to the Lord on Easter Sunday. And all the years that we've had sunrise services through all the years, so it's been a different time period. There's great demonic forces happening right now. So yes, there is a virus. Yes, it is contagious. Yes. But how it's being played out right now and how it's affecting, believe me, there's a demonic feature to all of this. And I'm greatly grieved because I don't believe the church is awakened to the reality. I don't see this great hunger and thirst for God. I'm thankful for all of you. It's not a commentary on you or maybe others that are listening. But the fact is, my prayer in the very beginning, just as it was with 9/11, when 9/11 happened, I was writing for the Bellingham Herald, and I says, I unfortunately have a feeling that this will be just a spiritual splash. That's what I wrote, that the first few weeks, people are coming out because, you know, our nation was taken under siege. But it was just a spiritual splash. What's happened? What's happened to the church? Where's the hunger and the thirst? I mean, things are happening radically in our world right now. Riots and hatred and all kinds of things at a level we've never known before. Leaders making decisions regarding protection, police, and other things taking place. Full-on assaults against the church, burning Bibles publicly. I mean, these are the days we're in right now. They're the days that Jesus talked about. And for me, look at my prayer, and it's still my prayer. It's still my prayer that there would be just a breakout, hunger and thirst. Praise God, we can worship God. Praise God, we can hear from God. Praise God, we have the Word of God. Praise God, I'm praying like never before for my lost family members and my friends and my neighbors and other people. I'm praying for elected. My spiritual life is coming alive. I'm waiting for that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm believing, God, that it would happen. But notice in the tribulation period, when all this is taking place, and when there's a proclamation of 144,000 lit up evangelists, sealed by God and anointed by God and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and nothing can affect them. The scorpions don't affect them. They're like, you know, boom, doesn't hurt. I'm going to give you the gospel. I'm going to give you the gospel. And people see that. And the representatives from heaven proclaiming the gospel, the angel going through. And what do you want to do? You want to go back to your demons. You want to go back to your ungodly music and your ungodly participation. You want to go back to the things. I never want to go back. I thank God for the time period we're in right now. We needed this. This is a wake-up call for me and for His church. I never want to go back to where things were before. I love what God's doing. I love the purifying work, the purging work. My friends, I said in the very beginning, when all this started, I made it very clear that things are going to get worse, not better. It wasn't, even though initially the president was communicating a 10-day deal, I said from the pulpit, and I continue to say, it will get worse. We haven't seen anything. It's going to get worse. I'm not pessimistic. I'm truthful. I'm honest. And it hasn't slowed us down. We're not like retreating and going back. We're not canceling things. Hey, well, we'll wait until January. It's like, no, now's the time. So we up our game. We bring Romans. We bring Revelation. We bring prayer. We bring, you know, daily messages, devotionals. We up our game. Up your game. Up your game. Why? Because this is a training period right now. This is basic camp for the church for what's ahead. For what's ahead. Where God can bring us to a place that we need to be with Him. And where the church needs to be with Him for what's happening. For what's going to happen. It's talked about. Jesus said these are just the beginning of the signs. He says it's like a woman in pregnancy, where as you start off with conception, but as you get into that last trimester in those last few weeks, those contractions happen with greater frequency and greater intensity. And I believe that's what's happening right now. That is what's happening right now. And notice in verse 21, they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, that's drug use, of sexual immorality, or their thefts. They don't care. I care. And you care. And that's why you're here. You care. You're mindful. You're aware. And God's ministering to you and to me. We need him. We need him. Even to another pastor friend of mine just yesterday, was really, really despairing. And I just said, take your Bible and get away right now and just start to read and let Jesus minister to you. Get under the fountain of his grace and his mercy and his truth. Let the blood of Christ cleanse you from all sin and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God anew and afresh. So, Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the lovely weather you've provided. I thank you for each person here and anyone that you give us the privilege to minister to. We consider it a blessed privilege to do what we're doing. Thank you for many that are praying, that are helping us at this time. Guide us by your word, by your Holy Spirit. Provide us with the wisdom that we need, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.